Good morning, and too, I'd like to welcome each one here this morning. As I realized what the Sunday school lesson was about, I don't know how often you hear someone get up to preach, and they said, I didn't look at the Sunday school lesson before I started the study. And I'll say that again this morning. I didn't realize what the Sunday school lesson was on until I had studied for this message. And so I guess the Lord wants us to hear more about reaching out this morning. I felt that's what God called me to preach on this morning. And I'd like to, for a text, I'd like to look at Luke 19. There's a parable there that I'd like to read that Jesus gave. First part of Luke 19 is the story of Zacchaeus, and we know that story well. But I'd like to look at the verses just following that account, and I'd like to just read the last portion of the story of Zacchaeus and then read down through verse 27 of Luke 19. This is the story of the pounds. And I would like to get the title for the message from Luke, or from verse 13. The last part of the verse, it says, occupy till I come. Verse 9 of Luke 19 says, and Jesus said unto him, talking to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which shall be given from him that hath, for I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Occupy till I come. And the burden, I guess, of the message is simply to encourage all of us to continue in the Lord's work and be willing to serve wherever he calls. I believe these words that Jesus shared in this parable are a call for all of us today, regardless of who we are and where we're from is to be busy in the work of the kingdom. Like I said, the first part of this chapter was the story of Zacchaeus. And I believe Jesus wanted to teach these people that the kingdom of God, like they were expecting, was not coming at this time. It was not coming, at least in the way that they thought it was going to come. And just a few facts of this account here. This nobleman had 10 servants, and he distributed 10 pounds, one pound per servant. And I believe it's interesting to me that the number 10 is a number of completion in the scriptures. And so it could very well mean not only did he give all his servants equal amount, but I believe this could be symbolic also of Christ, of the Christians of all time are able to identify with this parable that we are to occupy till Christ comes. We all have received a pound. And I believe this pound this morning is symbolic of our salvation. We all have received the good news of salvation. All of us that have given our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we have received this pound. And the question for all of us this morning is, what are we doing with what we have been given? The word occupy means to busy oneself with, or to trade, or to make it your business. To make it your business. And Jesus, I believe, is telling his children this morning to occupy, to be busy, to be at work with the scripture, with the command, with what you and I have received. And the question for myself is, how well am I doing with this command? How well am I doing in occupying myself in the kingdom of God? First of all, the message this morning, I'd like to first of all look at what is the kingdom of Christ. And I'd like to turn to John 18, 33 to 37. We have here the words of Jesus. Jesus was on trial before Pilate. And I'd like to just look at Jesus' words here. John 18, 33 to 37. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The thought this morning that the kingdom of Christ is something different than a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, it says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And so this morning, the kingdom of Christ is something different than entering it through physical means. Hebrews 1. There's a few verses in Hebrews that I'd like to, Hebrews 1, verses 3 and 4 and verse 8. Hebrews 1 verse 3, talking about Jesus here, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. The verse 8 is, I always like that verse. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. We understand what a scepter was in this time, in scriptures. In the account of Queen Esther, especially, that's often what I think about when I think about a scepter. And it's other places through scripture as well. But we know when Queen Esther came into the presence of the king, uninvited, her life depended upon whether or not the king held out that golden scepter. It was a token of, or a sign of acceptance by the king. And so this morning, a sign of acceptance into the kingdom of God is through righteousness. It is through righteousness. And how can we be righteous? None other but then other by the blood of Christ and by through Christ's sacrifice on, and his work on Calvary. In Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 18, Christ suffered that he might redeem all men. It's very similar to what we talked about just now, but in verse 10, Hebrews 2, 10 to 18 says, For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Precious verses to me, that Christ is not someone that is untouchable, that we cannot come to, but rather he took on him, it says, took on him the flesh and blood, and he took on him, and he was tempted like we are, so that he can identify with you and I in our temptations. I believe also this morning that it's Christ's desire that because of his sacrifice, all men would come to salvation. And it often impresses me, like it probably does all of us, that Jesus, he came, he brought salvation, and he left this world. But who did he leave his gospel with? He left it with his 12 disciples, first of all, to spread the news of salvation to the world. And who were these disciples? They were just normal men. They were fishermen, and they were just average, everyday men that were given the call to spread the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus is calling us all this morning, I believe, to occupy till I come, to spread this news of salvation, to let people know about the way of truth, and to let people know that he suffered and that he can identify with what we are facing. It is a command to occupy, to be busy with, to make it our business to spread the gospel. We can understand that in teaching, but how do we make it practical? And this message is going to be very practical. It's nothing And simple. I believe it's something we all can understand very easily. But how do we make it practical in spreading the gospel? What does occupying in the Lord's work really look like? Jesus told his disciples when they were to go out in Matthew 10, verse 8, said, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." I believe we all have freely received much not only in the land of freedom, not only from Christian homes and all those things, but we have the gospel at our fingertips, like was mentioned already this morning. We have the gospel everywhere. And we can easily learn what the scriptures have to say. And the familiar verses of Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the Great Commission, to go and teach all nations, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. The call is clear, but how do we do it? And I think that's where we oftentimes come to struggle. We have this desire to occupy, to be busy in the Lord's work, but how do we go about carrying it out? And I wonder if some of the details sometimes might hinder us sometimes from getting as much work done as we should. But I believe this morning that God opens doors in various ways. And I don't think there's any one way that we can say that God leads us to evangelize the world. There are many different ways. And as far as opportunities, you know, when we feel the leading of the Spirit to maybe go through an open door, whether it's just to speak a word for someone, speak a word to someone about the Lord, or whatever this open door might be. You know, we don't know what's beyond the open door, but we just know that the door is open. So I believe we feel that we should take it. And it's already alluded to, I believe, in Sunday school. We don't always know how the details will all work out. But we just need to act in faith. What are some characteristics of this work? This parable that we read, all 10 servants received a pound. And I believe, number one, all Christians are called to this work. We understand that. And like I said earlier, we all have received this command is to occupy, to be busy in the Lord's work. These 10 servants in this parable were all commanded to be busy, even though the citizens of the country rejected the authority of the nobleman. We can see that in verse 14. And I believe that's very similar to way we find it so often, is that how open are individuals, and we have individuals that are, but in general, are people willing to open up to the gospel? In Mark 13, 33, verse 33, it says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, is watch." I don't believe these servants knew when their Lord was coming back, when this nobleman was coming back. Jesus here is saying, neither do the rest of us know when he is coming back. But the important thing is to be busy and to watch. In Acts 1, verse 7 through 8, Number two, this work is only possible through power that Christ gives us through his Spirit. And I want to emphasize that this morning, that there is no way that we can carry out this command to occupy without Acts 1, verse 7 and 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We must remember that this work is the Lord's work, and that through his power we are able to occupy and to be the witness that we need to be. In 1 Corinthians 12, we won't turn to that, but it talks about there it's giving a comparison to the church, from the physical body. What this physical body is, so the church has many different members, many different functions. And I'm blessed as I look out through this church and the many different functions and different qualities that I see in you, in all of you, that we're not all called to the same thing. We can relate to different individuals differently and different works differently, but as we work together for the good of the church, it commends it. The church is built up. Number three, it was a selfless work that required a knowledge of what he had and a willingness to be obedient and to be diligent. You know, for this pound that in Luke that we read, for this pound to increase, he had to have a knowledge of what he had. The servant had to have a knowledge of what he had in order to do his part in bringing an increase. Do I know what I have been given? Do I know enough about the scriptures that I can let a word for Christ? Have I really experienced the peace that Christ offers? Is it current in my life? Are we sharing the truths of the gospel? We're trading the truth of the gospel. Are we sharing it so that others can know about it? You know, the nobleman in that parable, he wanted increase. The servant that had 10 pounds, or that had received one and gained 10, I believe, and the one that received one and gained 5, both of them were commended, and the nobleman was happy with their work. It's not about our talents, but it's about, I believe, our faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And 1 Peter 3, 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If you think about this verse of 1 Peter 3, 15, what does it mean to sanctify the Lord in your hearts? I believe it's simply to make God the most sacred part of your life. To realize that the things that God has to say are the most important that we can ever do in our life. You know, we can't share with someone something if we do not know anything about it. And that's a very simple statement, but it's so true. When we come to sharing the gospel, if we don't know the gospel, we for sure won't share it. And is the gospel alive in my life, in your life? I believe to know the word of God is to live out the word of God. You know, godly talk without a godly walk is of little value. If what we say and what we do not line up, it's of little to no value. So again, I ask the question, what does occupying or investing in the Lord's work look like in everyday life? And if we're going to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," I believe it's going to be because that the gospel, not only did we know the gospel, but we lived the gospel. It took root in our lives and expressed itself through our everyday expressions. It expresses ourselves through our attitudes. It's through your demeanor. It's through your language. And I'm reminded of this different times. And you know, we get busy and we get thinking about things, and probably some of us can't hide our feelings as well as others. And there are some that work with me that ask me, they see me coming, and they said, "Well, why are you so serious today?" And I'm not sure. I'm just thinking about something else. And it reminds me different times, is my life, is my attitude, is my demeanor. When I'm in public, am I a person that they'd feel comfortable coming up to me and asking about a question about religious things, if that's what was on their mind? Or do they see someone that is downcast and is in a hurry and they just know that it's not good to ask that person? A challenge for myself. In Matthew 25, we have the two different groups of people, the group of people that were accepted in the judgment day and the group of people that was not. And as I read that account again in studying for this message, it struck me how that the people that were accepted, Jesus specifically said that they clothed the naked, they met the physical needs of the people, and it was very everyday, low, maybe you say, behind the scenes work. But those were the ones that Jesus commended and were accepted into his kingdom. And it was a challenge for me as I thought about that. You know, many times the work of outreach and occupying in the Lord's work is very basic, everyday work. But yet it takes those everyday actions in order to sometimes get an open door into other things that you can minister to. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes commitment. The work of the Lord takes flexible schedules many times. It takes a love for people. You know, as we go about our work, go about our day, do I view every person that I see as made in the image of God? And that person is a person with a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. And how is my life challenging? Is my life challenging that individual to something more than what he has? I believe also occupying in the Lord's work, what does it look like? I believe we do our best to meet the needs around us that we know of. In Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, "As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are the household of faith." How do we do good unto all men? Well, there can be many, many ways in which we do good unto all men. But what about our brother and sister that maybe is facing a difficult time in life? Do we take the time to listen to their struggles? Do we take the time to encourage each other? And sometimes I wonder, these simple things, these everyday things, maybe we tend to forget to do them. Maybe we just don't think about them. Maybe we just assume that they already know. And that's all possible. We are human. We make mistakes. But it's simple things like, I care. I'm praying, etc. And I wonder sometimes for myself, is it the fear of just a simple answer, is not good enough? Do we think we need to have more of a response? Just the simple things are not good enough, but maybe that's all they need. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And we have different accounts in scriptures where individuals met the physical needs and how that stood out to other individuals. And we have two women in Acts. In Acts 16, we have the account of Lydia, who after her conversion asked Paul and Silas to stay at her house. And soon after that, Paul and Silas were taken to prison and then were released. And where did they go? They went back to Lydia's house. She met their needs. We have the account in Acts 9:36-43 of Dorcas, who became sick and passed away. And how they called for Peter, and Peter came. And she was raised back to life, but it says there that the widows were standing there with the many coats and garments that she had made. Her faithfulness touched many lives. And being involved in the Lord's work takes on many different forms, and one is not necessarily greater than the other, but the important thing is that we all do what we're called to do, that we're faithful in what we're called to do. And I had to think of Jesus' words in John 13, verse 35. It says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And what stood out to me is that the love and the care that is shown within a church doesn't stay within the church. People see it and can tell that we are his disciples by the love and the care that is shown within the church. And I ask, is our church that type of church? And I hope it is. Can other people see that we love Christ by the love that we share with each other? So in the parable that we read, there were 10 servants. One servant took his talent, gained 10. The other servant took his talent, gained 5. The third servant did nothing. And we know what the third servant, what the nobleman said to the third servant, the one that did nothing, the one that took his pound, the one that took good care of it, the one that kept it perfectly. He was the one that pound was taken away from. And I find it interesting as you look at this account that the servant that had gained 10 pounds and the servant that gained 5 pounds, they both told the nobleman when he came back, he said, "Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. It was not what I have done, but it was your pound that gained more pounds." What did the third servant say? Said, "I have kept and I fear thee." He was concerned about himself. He was concerned, I'm not sure what all his concern was, but he was concerned about himself because he was afraid of the way this nobleman was. So what was wrong with the third servant's approach? Number one, he was disobedient. The nobleman clearly told him to occupy, to be busy with the talent, or to be busy with the pound that they had received. He was disobedient. Number two, he kept it safe, but by doing so, I believe he could focus on what his own goals and desires were instead of sacrificing his time and efforts for the nobleman. You know, he could tuck that pound away somewhere and go on with his life and do what he felt like. The other two gave of themselves. They gave of their time. They gave of whatever it took to fulfill their responsibility in gaining and in trading their pound to gain more. I believe the response of all three of these servants showed how much he valued what he had been given. I don't believe that the third servant did not have an appreciation for what he had been given as much as he should have. And it's a challenge to me. How am I using the blessings? How am I sharing the gospel that has been given to me? I believe third is that being disobedient to what we know to do brings fear. And I believe you can see that in this servant as he was disobedient. He did not trade what he knew. He clearly heard the command of the nobleman to go and to trade. It brought fear. He yielded to human reasoning and did nothing. You know, I think one thing we can learn from here is simply guarding what we have is not good enough. We must take what we have and endeavor to multiply it, not for ourselves, but for Christ's sake, for the kingdom of God's sake. You know, the two that were faithful, we don't have any record of what the other seven did with theirs. But the two that were faithful, you know, they referred back to the nobleman as his pound. And they were simply obedient in doing what they could do. And I believe as we think about receiving the pound, receiving the gospel, it's not so much about what you and I our talents and what you and I can do, but I believe God calls us simply to be faithful in doing what we know is right. And he will take care of the rest. And in Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And in Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, which is the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I love those verses. As we think about the treasure, the gospel of Christ, he has given it to you and I, just normal people, people that are prone to fall and are full of faults, but yet as that power of the gospel can change a life, people know it's not because of who we are, but it's what Christ has done for us. And so I let that challenge to myself and to all of us today and this week, that occupy till I come. That's the call of Christ to his children. Let's be faithful.